We are Romanian gypsies. So my great-grandmother, she was a witch doctor. When we pass, we don't go anywhere. She's like, there's no heaven, there's no hell, we're just everywhere. You know, I was kind of like, oh, let me go into my culture too. I was in a very dark place, the most darkest place I've ever been in my entire life. And I felt this presence, this heavy, heavy, dark presence. I was telling her, like, when I close my eyes, I see scary faces. And she was like, oh my God, Jen, I do too. We knew that we opened a door and start flying through this room. Oh, I have chills right now. And I see this demon-faced thing. And it was coming closer to me. I saw me and my daughter and my husband sleeping. And I realized I couldn't move. I was laying on my back and something picked up my head and turned my head and mushed it into my pillow. Now this spirit is attacking me physically. We'll never get that image out of my mind.
Hi, welcome to Touching the Afterlife. Today we have with us Jennifer. Jennifer has a heartwarming story of how when her mom died, it woke her up out of New Age and back to Jesus. So welcome, Jennifer.
It is a pleasure and an honor to be on your channel today because God has been putting it on my heart for so long to share my testimony.
Mm-hmm. Well, start with where you would like to start today, Jennifer.
I would start off with my childhood. So I've always known of Jesus, but I never really got to know him because I never took the time to really understand everything. My mom, that's really all that she would ever talk about since I was a little girl. She would always talk about Jesus. And, you know, after some time, I would say when I was around 7 or 8 years old is where I started to notice a change in my mom. The way that she would talk about things and she would bring up things like, I see things and I hear things. And she would say that she sees, you know, demons, and she would talk about Satan a lot. So as a young girl, I slowly became scared of my mom because, again, I didn't understand it, but now I do. So whenever she would talk about Jesus, I would kind of separate myself in a way because I feel like since I was a little girl that my father's family would say that my mother is going crazy. So that made me believe that she was crazy. And when she would talk about all these things and she would see things, I thought she was losing her mind. So again, I never really took the time to understand Jesus and to have a relationship with him because I got like a negative feeling towards it. I just remember, you know, my dad's family saying that the church made her crazy. So, you know, I don't want to go into too much of my childhood, but my mother was here. She was sent here and she, you know, she married my father at a very young age and she came to America and she was alone. Mind you, she came here when she was 16 years old. So my mother was very alone. And now that I'm seeing things and how the Lord has shown me what was happening to my mom was that she was going through all of this alone. And when she would try to tell us and tell my dad or tell other people what was happening to her, nobody would listen. And she didn't have any support. Her life was hard. She struggled most of her life. And throughout it all, she really just had me and my sisters. And it hurts me to know that when she was here, I never took the time to really sit down and understand her and really understand what she was going through. So in 2021, my mom she went into the hospital on my birthday, and she was having problems breathing. So she was in the hospital for a little over a month, and she flatlined, and they put her on life support. So she was on life support for about 9 days, and we decided to take her off because she wasn't getting any better. And we were like, we don't want her to struggle and to suffer. So we took her off on life support Christmas Eve, and they put her on oxygen, and she was awake and she was like waving to us. And then Christmas Eve, that evening, she went to sleep. And at this point, my mother she wasn't able to talk for this whole time. So everybody went home to their families. It was Christmas Eve. I was so happy. And the hospital called my sister at 6 in the morning on Christmas. And they said that my mother's oxygen was dropping. So we all went to the hospital, me, my two sisters, my father, and my aunt. We all went to the hospital, and she was in the bed, and her eyes were closed, and we all sat around her, and I was on her side, and I held her hand, and I told her that I loved her at least 50 times. So, I watched her take her last breath. I just remember I lifted her arm and it just went limp. And, you know, I kissed her forehead and she was cold. So to me, it's a bittersweet experience because I was so happy and thankful that I was there with her. And I was able to hold her hand. I was able to tell her that I loved her. But then it's like I will never get that image out of my mind. So after my mom passed, I was very depressed and sad and angry. And my anger was mostly towards Jesus. Because I remember I was in my car and I was crying and I was talking to God, but I was kind of screaming too. And I said, you know, like, why my mom? Why did you let her? Why did you allow her to have such a hard life? She struggled so much, even through her passing. Why did you allow her to go through all this pain and all this suffering when she loved you and she praised you so much her whole life? So that's where I was at this point. I was very angry and depressed, and I was in a very dark place, the most darkest place I've ever been in my entire life. I do want to say one thing too. Christmas, when I came home after leaving the hospital, I was home alone because my husband and my daughter went to his mom's house because it was Christmas. And I was so exhausted because I didn't sleep yet. And I fell asleep on the couch but I feel like I was still aware of what was around me. And I just felt someone like leaning over, actually, on this couch. Like someone was leaning over and just watching me sleep. I felt a very comforting presence. And until this day, I believe that that was my mom. So me and my sister, I have two older sisters, and me and one of my sisters decided to go see a medium because we were really struggling. My oldest sister, she was more, of course she was hurting, but she wasn't as heartbroken and depressed as me and my other sister. So we went to this woman. And we really felt like she connected with our mom. Mind you, it wasn't even a month later after losing our mom. So we were just like, oh my God, this is amazing. She really connected with mommy. And, you know, I remember what really stood out to me now is she said, you know, like when we pass, we don't go anywhere. She's like, there's no heaven. There's no hell, we're just everywhere. And then at the end of the session, she said, I took classes to become a medium. So that really intrigued me. And I was like, I wanna do this too. I wanna talk to my mom too. And you know, my ancestry, we are Romanian gypsies. So my great grandmother, she was a witch doctor. So I feel like, you know, I was kind of like, oh, let me go into my culture too. So it was really, I was really intrigued. So I bought some online mediumship classes and I was doing it like every night. I'm not going to say I was doing it for so long, but I did it for maybe a few weeks. And that is when that things started to happen. I didn't mention that prior to going to the medium, I was in my bed alone, crying in the dark. And I heard a voice coming from like the side of my room. And this voice was so gentle and so soft. And it said, "Mommy's okay." I just wanted to say that because still until this day, it's beautiful to me. So I'm doing the online classes and that's when I opened this door. So the first experience I had was I was laying in my bed again, crying over my mom. And I felt this presence, this heavy, heavy, dark presence laying above me. And it was so heavy and it was so eerie that I put the covers over my head. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? And, you know, I took the covers down and it went away. During this time, me and my husband, we bought a new set for our room. And we bought a new mattress. And we also bought a platform where it had an incline and it had a massager. So one night, me and my husband are in our bed and our bed starts to shake. And we both like looked at each other and we're like, what is that? And, you know, we just thought, came up with the idea, like maybe it's the massager acting up. So from time to time, my bed would shake. We gave our old set to my daughter, who was 4 at the time, and she never wanted to sleep in her room. She was always scared, so she was always in our bed. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start to sleep upstairs and sleep in her room so she could get more comfortable sleeping in her own room. So one night, I'm putting her to sleep, and her bed starts to shake. And I'm like, well, this bed has no massager. And I told my husband, and he didn't really have any words. He didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to think. But I did know that it was something supernatural at this point. And I told my sister, my oldest sister, who was very upset that we went to go see this medium, because she was starting to grow her relationship with Jesus. And she was like, that is not good. You guys should not be trying to do that. And she even told us that we probably opened up a door, because me and my sister, we were on the phone and I was telling her, like, when I close my eyes, I see scary faces. And she was like, oh my God, Jen, I do too. So we knew that we opened a door, and I knew that I opened a door plus a window plus another door, because I was doing these classes. So I called my oldest sister and I told her like what was happening in my home. And she was like, you need to pray and you need to anoint every room. So I found this prayer to like cleanse homes. And I had olive oil and I anointed every room and I made crosses. So one night again, me and my husband and my daughter were all sleeping in my room because she's still not wanting to sleep alone. So I have this dream that I'm in this room and this girl has a clipboard. And she was like, you have to sign this. And she took me to this other room and it was so dark. And I said to her, can you turn on the light so I can see my bed? And before I could sign the paper, before she turned on the light, I start flying through this room. Oh, I have chills right now. And I'm flying through this room and I'm smiling and I'm like, oh my God, this feels so good. I just felt like I was in euphoria. And then I stop flying and I see this demon faced, I can't really explain it. It was just like this evil faced thing. And it was coming closer to me. And I said, no, I serve Jesus. And I kept on saying, I belong to Jesus. And then I saw myself sleeping. In my actual bed, I saw me and my daughter and my husband sleeping. And that's when I opened my eyes and I realized I couldn't move. Like I was stuck in this one position for at least 20 seconds. And that really freaked me out because I remember I watched actually one of your other testimonies, and someone was talking about like astral projecting and like flying and seeing yourself, like how I feel like I came out of my actual body and I was able to see in my spirit like astral projecting, but I don't know too much about it. But I remember I was watching another pastor and he said that people can astral project even when they don't even practice it, or even if they don't even want to do it. If you are in heavy bondage, then you can astral project.
A question I have for you is, at that point, Jen, did you invoke the name of Jesus? Did you feel like that demon left? I know you weren't giving your heart yet over to Jesus, but you invoked his name. What happened?
I kept on saying, no, I belong to Jesus. And after that, it was gone. At this point, I'm not going to say I have a relationship because I don't. You know, I'm praying, yes, but I'm doing like what my sister told me to do. So at this point, my bed is shaking every night. And not only is my bed shaking, but I was starting to get physically attacked, as to where I would be sleeping and I would get this feeling like something is holding me down, and I would even get choked in my sleep. There was this one night where I was laying on my back and something picked up my head and turned my head and mushed it into my pillow. So now this spirit is attacking me physically, not only in my mind, because again, I do feel like that this spirit was attacking my mind. One night again, I was in my daughter's room and I was putting her to sleep again. And she's asleep. And every time that the bed is shaking, everyone's asleep, except sometimes my husband would wake up and be like, oh my God, the bed's shaking again. But so she's asleep and I'm starting to drift off to sleep. And I don't know if this was a vision or a dream, because I don't feel like I was in a total sleep at this point. So I'm on this tall, high, wooden old bridge. And what's surrounding me is these gray and brown mountains. And I look down and it's just this hole, this huge hole. And I'm walking on this bridge and it has the strings to hold on to. It's really wobbly. And I come and there's this big hole in the middle of this bridge. And I try to jump over it and I fall through it. And as I'm falling, I turn my head and I see Jesus. And he's on the cross. And he is all bloody and his head is down. And I see something chop his arm off. And after I saw his arm fall, I woke up. And again, the bed was shaking like crazy. And my heart was pumping out of my chest. I couldn't move. I was stuck in this position for at least, I couldn't move for a long time. And I was sweating. And when I was able to move, I got up so quick and I started to rock. And I said, oh my God, Jesus, what was that? And I was just crying. I was so scared at this point. I didn't know what was happening to me. You know, I'm getting attacked every night. And there was another time where this was so vulgar and aggressive. I was sleeping on my side and I felt something like squeeze my side, like it was squeezing me and it was forcing me to like pulse and jump. And as I'm jumping out of my body, every time I blink, I see all these scary demon faces. And the last face I saw was Jesus, like his profile. And there was another time where I was in my bed and I was anointing all of the rooms and I was making crosses and I was just in the bed. And I just remember I looked over and the cross I made with the olive oil was glowing. I was in a dark room. I had like nothing on but my television and it was just glowing. And it just gave me the feeling of he's with me. He sees what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he was trying to show me he's here. You know, I would see shadows in the hallway. And when I would look at these shadows, it would shapeshift into these faces, these evil, scary faces. And there was a time where I was in my room and I was up and I was walking around in my room and I look over to my couch and I see a demon just sitting on my couch. And I'm looking closer and I'm like, what is that? And it had teeth that were so like this. They were so big and jagged. And at this point, I'm getting used to it. It's like I know that when I fall asleep, I'm going to get attacked. I'm going to get choked out. Something is going to happen to me. I started to do some research because I didn't know if I was going crazy or if this was really happening. So I went onto Google and I searched sleep paralysis, and it brought me to a thread. And this woman said that when a demon attacks at night, it's called an incubus. So I said, well, I've never heard that word. So then I went onto YouTube and I typed in sleep paralysis and incubus. And it brought me to Mike Signorelli. And I was watching one of his videos. It was a 2-hour long video of him doing deliverances on people. And as I'm watching it, I start hysterically crying. And I just felt chills all over my body. And this was the first time that I've ever felt the Holy Spirit. I knew that this is what I needed. I knew that I had a demon that was attacking me. So something told me to look up Pastor Mike Signorelli. I go onto Google again, and I go onto his website, and I see that he has a church right where I live, literally 10 minutes away from my home. So I knew then that God sent me to this church because I was trying to find places, churches around me that would do this, and I couldn't find any. So I started to go to his church and I fell in love. His church was so amazing. I've never seen a church like Pastor Mike Signorelli's church. I normally go with my husband and my daughter, but there was this one Sunday where I went alone. And after the service was over, I was like, I cannot leave this church. I was like, I have to tell somebody what's happening to me. So I went up to one of the prayer team members and I told him everything. And he was like, we need to pray over you. So him and this other girl took me over and they were praying over me. And I had to confess and I had to forgive and I had to say out loud every person that I needed to forgive. So I have my hands up and I'm crying and I'm sweating. I'm pouring with tears and they're just praying over me. They're praying in tongues and they're calling out all the spirits. And this took some time. It wasn't a 1, 2, 3 thing. And I would feel this pressure in my stomach and it would come up to my throat. And they would ask me like, how do you feel? And I was like, I feel pressure. But slowly, I was starting to feel like this isn't working. This isn't working. And I was starting to feel like it was taking a really long time.
Were you Were you frustrated at this point?
Yes, very. But I was just crying and pleading, like, Lord, help me. And as soon as Tyler, his name is Tyler, as soon as he called out incubus, he said, incubus, come out in the name of Jesus. And he ran his hands on my back. And wow. As soon as he did that, I threw up. Now, when I would watch people get delivered and they would throw up, I'm like, is that real? Like, Are they really throwing up a demon? But it happened to me. It's so real. And I just remember coming out of church, I felt like I could see better. I felt like everything was brighter. I felt like a weight was lifted off of me. And I went home and I was thanking Jesus and I was praising him. And I fell to my knees. And it wasn't even, I wanted to fall to my knees. It's like I was forced to. It's like I was forced to bow to him. And when they say that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow, that's, it's real. So after I was delivered, that night I had no attacks. I slept like a baby because I haven't been sleeping a full night in months. The next night though, it was the worst attack I've ever had. It was very aggressive and it lasted a really long time where I was choked again. I was held, I couldn't move. And I texted Tyler and I told him, I was like, listen, I was attacked again. And he was like, you have layers. You have layers of bondage. And I got delivered again for the second time. And I threw up again.
So Jen, you had another deliverance. What happened after that when you were delivered for the second time? Do you feel like there was complete clearness now?
I must say that after I was delivered for the second time, it was in church again. Pastor Mike had a whole service on just doing deliverances on people. So after I was delivered again, I felt like I was free. I really felt like I was saved from not only what was happening to me with this incubus, but I felt like I was freed from all the anger, all the hurt, all the abandonment that I had. All the trauma, I felt like I was freed from that because I've had that, all these emotions for years since I was a little girl. So I can say that I felt like I was lighter, like something was lifted. And again, I felt like I could see better. It's like the Lord, he gives us lenses. He gives us different lenses, so we see things in a totally different way. And I can say that as time went on, my way of thinking really started to change slowly, but I really started to see a change in who I was. After I was delivered for the second time, I was baptized at Pastor Mike's Ignorelli's Church. And I can really say that that was truly an honor because I just feel like once you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, once you feel his love, you will never be the same again. And after I was baptized, I was praying at home. And I just started to speak in tongues out of nowhere. I was just praying. I had my hands up and my tongue just was moving and I had no control over my tongue. And again, I fell to my knees again while I was praying in tongues. And I said, Abba. And I've never said that word ever. And I just feel like that was so incredible to me. It's just It's so amazing how God moves in our lives. Mm. So that was, and again, that was the first time I heard his voice. And I heard him say that no one will ever love you more than I do. And it really just opened my eyes to, I was so angry at him because I didn't understand. But now that I was growing my faith and growing my relationship, I really started to understand how he does his work. And another night, I was on my floor and I was praying in tongues. I was praying in tongues for hours. And in my mind, I said, I wish I could call my mom. I wish I could tell her, like, Mom, I'm praying in tongues, you know? I said, I wish that she knew. And I heard him again, and he said, she knows. And he said that she is rejoicing in heaven. And when I heard that, I broke down. I was hysterical because I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I finally found what my mom was trying to tell me my whole life. Mm. Before she passed away, a month prior, she told me that she's going to get a new body. She's like, Jen, I'm going to get a new body because my body on earth is not healthy. And then she passed away. I just know that my mom was very connected to God, and God showed her things. And he showed me that I had to be in the dark in order to find the light. So I was in a dark place because I lost my mom. And then I was even in a more darker place because I was getting attacked for months. And he showed me that if I didn't lose my mom, I wouldn't have been so desperate to plead to God and to say, Lord, I need you. So again, I needed to be in the dark in order to find the light who is Jesus. And it took losing my mother in order to find him. Mm. And that is what she wanted my whole life. Because that's all my mother would talk about was Jesus and how incredible he is and how we need to know him. And she would always talk about spiritual warfare. And this was like in the 90s where nobody was really talking about this. And I feel like it's so talked about now. So that's what he showed me, that I needed to be in the dark in order to find him. Because again, if I wasn't going through this, then I wouldn't have been so desperate to say, Lord, I need you. Because nobody could ever help me. No other human or thing could help me from what was happening to me. That Jesus, his name holds so much power. And he was the only one that was able to save me and to free me.
That is such an amazing, beautiful story. I just feel the love of Jesus for you and for everyone listening. What would you say, Jen, to encourage our listeners that may be going through something similar?
I would say that God puts things in our lives. Everything has a purpose, and He wants us to embrace our trials, because if we don't go through these things, then we are going to be lost. Because again, God puts these things in our lives to make us stronger so that we can be soldiers. And we will know how to fight against the enemy. So he's building us, and he's growing us. And I embrace and I thank God for all of my struggles, all of my sufferings, even my childhood. I thank him, because we have to realize that these experiences molds us, and it forms us, and it makes us who we are. It makes us who we are supposed to be in him. And I just feel that he gives people things that he knows they can handle. So when you're having a hard time, just know that God knows that you are strong, and he's going to make you stronger. And he never leaves us. No matter how far away we feel from him, he's always close. He's always right beside us.
Yeah.
And he goes ahead of us to clear the way, to make sure that it's clear and it's safe so we can move forward. This is what he showed me. Thank you, Father God. He's in front of us. He's in back of us. And he's always on our side. And when we can't continue, he carries us.
Amen. Will you pray for us, Jen?
Of course. Father God, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness, Father God. We thank you for the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Father God, how you change our mind, how you change the way that we think, Father God, that we have patience and kindness and joy and self-control, Father God, through the Holy Spirit. I pray today for all who is watching this video right now, Father. I pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit comes over them, Father, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, that they can feel his love, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, and we praise you, Father. We praise you all day.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.